Hello, I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash.
And you're listening to episode 257 of Chat Disney. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast and the second in our little Disneyland Paris series. We are in the midst of talking about my most recent trip to Disneyland Paris at the moment. So if you enjoyed last week's episode, you are in luck because all of that cool Disneyland Paris fun is to be continued in today's episode. But before we get into all of that, I'm going to hand over to Tash for a little bit of news.
Kicking us off today, we have the OG Park Disneyland, and details have been released for Disneyland After Dark Star Wars Night. Now, this is going to be held on various days. I think it's about 8 days in total, between April the 16th and May the 9th. And at the event, you can expect to find various different Star Wars things, like Star Wars inspired snacks and dining options. Guests are invited to dress in Star Wars attire and join Minnie and Mickey in a special cavalcade down Main Street. There will be lightsaber workshops, dance parties, lots and lots of stuff going on. Tickets will be available very soon. So if this is something you are interested in, then definitely check this out and have a look. Make sure that you know exactly when tickets are going to go on sale. Heading over to Walt Disney World for some news today as well. And finally, we have it confirmed that Tiana's Bayou Adventure will be opening this summer. We're still yet to hear on an exact opening day or time frame for California. Now that they've said that it is this summer for Walt Disney World, my hopes of it being open in Disneyland for my trip in August are beginning to fade away. But there we are. Who knows? There's still hope at the moment. Lots of people have been discussing the Tiana animatronic that has been released online, which looks absolutely incredible, very, very lifelike. But lots of people are saying that she looks much older than in the original film, which does make sense because we know that the attraction or the story of the attraction is taking place after the film, once Tiana has achieved all her hopes and dreams. So it would make sense that she does look a little bit older in the new attraction. Also in Walt Disney World, four menus have been revealed for the outdoor kitchens at the 2024 Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. This year there's going to be 20 kitchens and over 60 new food items to try, including a lot of returning fan favourites as well. Now, the International Flower and Garden Festival is taking place from the end of this month, February the 28th, right through to May the 27th, so it's running for a little while. I was having a look at some of the food items. There's quite a few good plant-based options. A couple of things that caught my eye. You've got the Impossible Jamaican Beef Patty with a spicy papaya syrup from La Isla Fresca, which sounds lovely. And a seasonal fruit parfait with a mango Dole Whip from the Refreshment Outpost. Sounds absolutely delicious, and I'm very jealous of anyone that will be going for this event. We've also got some rather controversial news from Disneyland Paris this week. Now, last week we spoke all about the Disneyland Hotel. Mercedes has just stayed there, and on the day that she was leaving, if you haven't already listened to that episode, they suddenly opened up the hotel for non-guests of the Disneyland Hotel. So essentially, anyone going to Disneyland Paris could queue to get into the Disneyland Hotel. And this was making it very busy. Before there would be princesses sort of walking about, just sort of greeting guests, saying hello to people, and they were being absolutely swarmed by people because the foyer was suddenly so, so busy. You will now actually need to reserve a slot to visit the Disneyland Hotel via the Line Bertie app. You honestly couldn't make this up. Reservations are limited and can be made for up to four people. Now, the Disneyland Paris report said that they have actually used it, and if you manage to get a reservation, it's actually a very smooth process. The hotel is a lot less busy and more enjoyable than the previous system. So, as surprising as it is that the Disneyland have made this decision, I guess it seems that it's working especially for people that do want to stay at the hotel that aren't staying there. Previously, Lion Bertie, if you're not familiar with the app, it is used for, you know, some of the more elite sort of special meet and greets at Disneyland Paris. You have to go on and book a time slot so that you're not queuing for absolutely hours and hours on end. And finally, we've got a couple of bits of other news today. So very, very excitingly, Alan Menken, the world famous Disney iconic composer, confirmed that a Broadway production of Tangled is apparently coming. Now, Alan Menken, of course, was one of the people that composed the music for Tangled. There is currently an hour-long musical that appears on one of the Disney cruises, but this would be a proper full-length theatre show. Now, this is only being spoken about for Broadway at the moment. This is the very first details that we've had about this. We know that Frozen will be leaving the West End in, I think it's September. Obviously, we know that Hercules is going to be coming, but I'm hoping with the fact that Frozen is leaving, you know, Beauty and the Beast was touring recently, didn't stick around for too long. I think it's time that we need something else. And I hope that if this does happen, that Tangled eventually makes its way over to the good old West End as well. And finally, finishing off today, a leaked photo from what is allegedly the set of the live-action Lilo and Stitch movie shows Stitch in his live-action form driving a very small car. Now, this Stitch looks very true to the animated Stitch. It looks like an animatronic. Photos did originally circulate online when they first announced the live action Lilo and Stitch of some hideous CGI creation. So this is not that, thank God. But yeah, I guess we'll find out more about this as time goes on. And that sums up the most important stuff that has been happening in the world of Disney this week. We're now going to move on to the main part of the episode, talking all about the first day of Mercedes Disneyland Paris trip. So, last week, Mercedes, we spoke all about the big surprise that you had been keeping from all of our listeners and your mum, most importantly, and that was the fact that you did stay at the Disneyland Hotel. And we did mention in the news there have been some rather controversial things about the Disneyland Hotel coming out this week, which we did touch upon last week. So the day that you left, just to recap, was when they implemented a queuing system to get into the hotel. And then, as I mentioned in the news just there, they have now brought back Lion Bertie for you to reserve a space for. I feel like this deserves a whole episode of Mad Chatter.
It's mental, like actually mental. So mental, in fact, that the Dedicated to DLP podcast joked about this last week. They literally did an episode about the Disneyland Hotel and they said, oh, I'm surprised they didn't bring back Lion Bertie. And one of them was like, oh no, don't give them any ideas. Like, are we living in a fever dream? What the hell is going on?
I know, it's so ridiculous. Like, I almost can't quite believe it myself. I mean, surely this is not a thing that is going to stay long term. Like, I don't...
No.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think, like, obviously we did a whole episode about the Disneyland Paris Hotel last week. So if you are interested in my experience and our thoughts on what's happening over in Paris regarding the hotel, definitely go back and listen to last week's episode if you haven't already. But one thing I do want to touch upon on this, because I am really passionate about it and it is kind of relevant to what we were just talking about, this notion of non-guests visiting the hotel. Last week, you'll remember if you have listened to the episode already, we were talking about this like elitism. And how I said, you know, I don't think it's fair for certain people to have exclusive opportunities just because they can afford a bit more money, whatever. However, kind of contrary to that, you've paid for this hotel. There are certain privileges you expect, which are currently being taken away. The one thing that I said last week, and again, it's a bit like Dedicated to DLP predicting the Lion Bertie thing. I made a prediction last week and it's bloody happened, and I've sworn and I apologize. This is a family-friendly podcast, but I'm really angry. I said last week, if they have too many people in the hotel, what that's going to do is it's going to create a hierarchy between standard Disneyland hotel guests and those that are Castle Club and beyond. Because what will happen is they'll stop having the chance encounters with princesses in the lobby, and that will be reserved for the Castle Club floors that only certain people can access. And what's happened, that's exactly it. So now I've seen footage of Aurora on the Castle Club balcony, like looking down into the main atrium where they used to be, just waving at people. And then the Castle Club people who have access to that level can go over and get a photo and a signature as they see her. But she's not down on the main floor now, because Joe Bloggs with his Lime Bertie can walk in and cause chaos and whatever. And I knew this was going to happen, and I'm furious about it.
Yeah, there's a lot, like the more and more I'm reading, there's a lot of bad press coming out of the, or bad reviews, I should say, coming out of the Disneyland Hotel. And I feel like at some point they are going to have to address it, because there is going to be no incentive to pay that obscene amount of money to stay there.
Yeah, completely. And like, I was somebody who, like, when we recorded last week's episode, I'd literally just got back. I'd been back less than 24 hours. I've now been back for a week. I got back a week today as we record this episode. And I've had time to reflect, and I had the most incredible experience, so much so that I would actually, and this is like a very bold statement, and please don't hold me to this, but if money was no object, I actually would never go back to Disneyland Paris unless I could stay at that hotel. That's how incredible my experience was. However, that's if I had the same experience that I had when I went, and here we are 7 days later, and that experience has already unraveled in a way that it only can at Disneyland Paris. These things, these weird and wonderful things, like, I just, the mind boggles. It was perfection. Why can't we have nice things?
I know. I feel like I said, at some point the hype of it being reopened and it being all new will die down. There'll be less interest about people just going in, and Disneyland will realize and rectify the issue, and then it will kind of become a lot more calm again and back to how it was. That's my hope anyway.
Yeah, unless we forget, I remember walking into the Disneyland park once in 2017, I want to say. It was when I went with Grumpy for the first time. And Rapunzel and Flynn were on the balcony waving at people as they went into the park, which means they were in the hotel. And like, Mickey used to be in the hotel. I've seen Mickey in even like Newport Bay and so on. So it's like the idea of characters just being in the hotel isn't a new one anyway. Like, you could have gone in and probably seen a princess before the renovation, but it's, I personally, if I had to blame this, it's like The Apprentice. What would you say was the failing of the task? I think they've given it too much publicity, if there's such a thing. I think there's too much content on social media.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. And I think the fact of, like, we live in a world now where influencers are a massive part of society, and you have things like TikTokers and people like going to stay at this hotel just to report on it. Like, there is so much hype being created about it, not just by Disney, but by your average influencer, let's say. And I think that is part of the issue here.
And they paid influencers to go for the press day as well. So I follow a girl called Hello Miss Jordan, and she isn't a Disney account. She is like a vintage, she wears like princess dresses. She wears a lot of like selkie and like vintage kind of 1950s ball gowns and stuff like that. I absolutely love her content. And she was invited to go, and she did like a big photo shoot. And it's like, I like, that's clearly been their marketing model with this. And look, it's worked.
It has indeed. So anyway, that aside, let's continue on with your trip, because we still haven't really spoken about it properly. We've been saving it all for the podcast. So today we're going to cover your first day. So we're going to run through what you ate, what you did, kind of like your start to finish, highlights, lowlights. I guess we probably will touch upon some of your expectations with going with a young baby and what the reality was. So yeah, let's start at the very beginning of the day.
Perfect. So I've already spoken about the check-in experience at the Disneyland Hotel. So whilst we were waiting for our room to be readied, we went into the main Disneyland park, which took, I want to say, approximately 2 minutes to enter via our own prestigious entrance, which was amazing, and turned the corner We were on Main Street, USA. It was absolutely idyllic. We met my sister and her boyfriend in the park. They arrived quite a lot earlier than we did, so they'd already done a couple of coasters and things like that. They wanted to ride all of the attractions with my son that he could ride. So I think they did like Star Tours and Hyperspace Mountain from memory, because they knew that he obviously couldn't go on them. So this might be controversial, but I really wanted my son's first ride to be Small World.
I don't think that's controversial. I think that's controversial for you.
Yeah, for me, 100%. Because I mean, it's just the obvious baby ride, isn't it? I hate it, but I just thought, I loved it when I was a child. I'm not like a complete monster. So I just thought, you know, it made sense. But unfortunately, it was down, so it wasn't meant to be. So I thought, what's better than, you know, a scenic boat tour around the world than a scary boat trip through the Caribbean? So we decided to pivot and we went on Pirates of the Caribbean. It had like a 5-minute wait. Pretty much everything had a 5-minute wait during my trip. If you go in January to Disneyland Paris, because of the poor weather, that is typically what you can expect, short wait times. And it's one of the perks of going off peak. So went on Pirates of the Caribbean, and my son's face throughout the attraction was one of bemusement, I would say. He just kind of like stared into the distance and just sort of, you know, kind of blinked and looked around and didn't seem very interested. He just kind of didn't really respond to it at all.
This is what I love about kids. I mean, I know that your son is obviously only 6 months, but my son was about the same. He was obviously 6 months older. And he very much had the same approach until it came to the drop at the end, which he got really upset about afterwards. Now, I don't think that it was the drop with him. I think it was the fact that people screamed and were like, ah, because those sorts of noises have set him off in the past before. So I think with that, with him, it was that. But I think with like young children anyway, what I always find hilarious is like, you can put them on a ride, you can put them on anything. Like I went on holiday with my family, my nieces, in October. We went to like this Dutch theme park, and there was this one ride that they all wanted to keep riding, or the little two wanted to keep riding, and they absolutely loved it. But looking at their faces, it was like they're having the worst time. And like, that's what I love about kids. Like some, but they don't necessarily look like they're having the best time, but they're enjoying it. They're taking it all in. Their faces just aren't catching up.
Yeah, I've learned with my son, like, unless he's crying, he's happy. But the drop did not faze him at all. I don't share my son's face on social media, actually. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to share this with our listeners. And this is a terrible listening experience for anyone that is listening right now. But I'm going to show Tash the ride photo to show you just how disinterested in the drop he was. It's quite a funny photo.
Yeah, he literally looks like he could be on anything else. He looks so unfazed.
Yeah, he wasn't interested, bless him. So that was that, which was good. And then, gosh, I'm trying to, it was a week ago, but already my mind's kind of, I wish I'd written it all down, kind of play by play. So yeah, after that, I believe Small World reopened. Did it reopen then? Gosh, I'm trying to remember the series of events. What did we do? No, I remember. I had forgotten briefly. I have remembered. Then we went on Phantom Manor with my son, who, again, you might think, oh, 6 months old. Like, why did you do such a thing? He doesn't know about spooky. Like, he doesn't know about the dark. He doesn't know about skeletons. He doesn't know about spooky. So then we went on Phantom Manor, pretty much the same. Just sort of looked around. Like, he was having a nice time. But yeah, just wasn't particularly interested really in it. Like, well, he wasn't upset. He was just kind of looking around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that anyone who's listening to this is like, oh my God, Pirates of the Caribbean, Phantom Manor. But like, get them on those rides when they are as young as possible, because as they get older, when they develop the fear, that's when you suddenly won't be able to do them as a family anymore. Like with my son, like he went on Pirates of the Caribbean, was fine with it. He went on loads of stuff at Disneyland. He even went on loads of stuff when we went to this Dutch theme park last year. Now I can't even get him on a little train ride because like he suddenly developed or suddenly something has happened and he suddenly doesn't like it. Whereas a few months ago or last year, that would have been absolutely no problem. So God knows what my trip to California is going to look like because I really don't see him enjoying much at the moment. Hopefully by then he'll change. But yeah. Like, get them on these rides, my point is, when they are young, because you might go through a period of time where you go back to the parks and they won't touch them with a barge pole.
Yeah. And like, I know it's not science, it's a film, but like in Inside Out, the fear emotion doesn't come until Riley is like two. Like, I don't think Teddy knows fear yet. I genuinely don't. Or he certainly doesn't know like if something's meant to be scary. So yeah, he was fine on both of those. And then the weather was pretty rubbish my entire trip. So I don't know if it was because of the weather or because like Small World was down. I'm not really sure. But at some point, we did decide to go back to the hotel. Oh, I know why it was. It's because I'd booked one of those Royal Encounters that I was talking about last week. So I had one of those and I was like, I'm kind of intrigued to see what this is because I didn't know what it was at that point. And my sister and my sister's boyfriend were with us and I wasn't sure if they were going to be allowed into the hotel, but they were. They kind of went in with my mum and obviously my mum had her room key. That room sleeps four people. Like, they didn't know if my sister and her boyfriend. So yeah, sorry, a little bit naughty there, adding to the riffraff that are in the hotel that shouldn't be, but there we are. So we all went down to the Royal Encounter together and it was the meet and greet with Belle. And that was really special. She was a particularly beautiful Belle and she really took her time with the family and she loved Teddy. And it was just a really, really amazing, positive encounter. And then my sister and her boyfriend, I thought they'd want to go into the park or do loads of rides, but they were like, to be honest, we're quite happy to chill here as well if you are. So then we just went into what used to be the Cafe Fantasia, but it's now the Fleur-de-Lis bar. And we just had like coffees. I had a hot chocolate. And my sister and I went to the gift shop to go and look at like the exclusive Disneyland Hotel merch. I picked up the Royal Banquet Mickey for my son. There were three left on the shelf. And my sister was like, you need to get that now. Can't you just get it another day? And I was like, I'm just scared they're going to sell out or whatever. And I turned around and all of them had gone. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad I got it. Da, 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 da. And I feel really bad saying this. This is really controversial. And Disney are definitely never going to make us like official influencers for them because I'm just exposing them massively here. But my sister was like, I just saw a member of staff take them. And this happened a few times where I would go into the shop and like all the clocks would be on the shelf and then you'd like go and look at something, come back and they were all gone. I think like it's a bit of an accusation, but I think they're like hiding stock to create a false economy.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
It happened a few times. And like I went back into that shop that afternoon and there was like 20 of the Mickey plushies.
Yeah, that is weird.
They're like, it was weird. And then like one day you'd go in and there were no, like when I first went in, they didn't have any of the mugs. And I was like, oh my God, they don't have any of the mugs. And they were like, oh, if you come back tomorrow, we might. And then like, I went back that evening and they had, the whole shelf was full.
Yeah, that is, there's something is awry there.
Yeah, exactly. And this was before anyone could go in as well. So I don't really know what, because I know that that's one of the issues they've had with people going in that aren't hotel guests is they've been buying the merchandise and like putting it on eBay and Vinted and stuff. But this was before that. So I don't really understand.
Yeah.
And they had no pins, no key rings. And then the next morning they did.
Yeah, that is slightly bizarre.
Really weird. So yeah, we'll leave that there. Oh, I bought you a spirit jersey as well.
Yeah,
so I need to give it to you actually. So yeah, I saw they had these like exclusive like princess spirit jerseys. They didn't have Jasmine or Belle, unfortunately. So I didn't get one for myself, but they had Tiana, Moana, Ariel, and someone else. I can't remember who the fourth one was. Put him. The Yeah, maybe Rapunzel. That feels like it would be Rapunzel. But yeah, the Ariel one was lovely. It's like a green kind of tie-dye and it's got like a seashell and it says Ariel's beautiful. And I knew that Tash had to have it. So I sent her a picture of it and asked if she wanted it. She said yes. So then I purchased it. This is why I went back to the shop in the evening to go and buy it for you. And that's when I saw, oh, look, the mugs are sun. Like it was very weird. But anyway, so yeah, did that. And then my mum was just like living her best life in this fleur-de-lis lounge with Teddy. And then I noticed like Ariel and like Aurora and stuff were walking around. So we went and got pictures with them.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just going to interrupt there because I have a question. How does the fleur-de-lis lounge compare to Cafe Fantasia?
It's a little bit plain.
Okay.
Because I went to Cafe Fantasia a couple of times. Like that was one of my only, apart from the Inventions brunch, that was like pretty much the only exposure I'd really had to the Disneyland Hotel, just like popping in there after park closing and grabbing a cocktail, and like listening to the piano. Piano Man seems to have disappeared. The piano's still there, but there's no one playing it, not that I saw. Admittedly, we didn't stay on like a Saturday evening. We went home on the Saturday, but in the week, I certainly didn't see any live music. Yeah, it's a bit, I mean, it's the same bar, right? It's the same size and everything. It's not that different, but the decor is quite cold. It's like gray, grays and blues and purples, and it's quite stripped back. It could just be any fancy hotel bar. It doesn't feel particularly Disney. Cafe Fantasia obviously had like elements of Fantasia, the movie, and it was very musical. It had like musical notes all over the walls and things. So yeah, I probably preferred Cafe Fantasia's interior.
Yeah, that's such a shame. I mean, if they've still got the piano there, then hopefully, like, maybe he was just having an off day because I think that was such a nice little perk to that place. Like, going, sitting, and having a cocktail or two and listening to like that classical Disney music was
Yeah.
lovely. And
Yeah.
yeah, something that
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they would have gotten rid of.
Yeah, definitely. But I didn't see any live music the whole time I was there. 'Cause I think one time I went, they had like a flutist as well, but didn't see any of that. So yeah, that was that. And then we decided we were going to go back into the park to watch the parade. So we went and watched the parade. I think my sister and her boyfriend had already gone ahead because they were like, we're not going to just sit in the hotel all day. But then I'm pretty sure my son like had a nap. Then he had a poo explosion. So yeah, the day was kind of getting on. And then our rooms were ready. So at this point, it was like, it must have been the parade was at like 6 or something. So I think our rooms must have been ready at like 5. I know it was like the evening. I can't really remember now. It feels like ages ago, but I think our rooms were ready. So I think we were like, let's go and look at our rooms, but none of our stuff was in. Maybe we didn't go to the room actually, because all our stuff was still downstairs. But I definitely had to go. I had to go down to like the baggage people and get the milk. Like I told you all of this last week. So there was quite a lot of stuff I needed to do like in the hotel. So then we went back into the park. Caught the parade, met up with my sister and her boyfriend. They'd got us a spot for the parade by the pink arches, my favorite place to watch the parade. Watch that. That parade is tired. Oh my God, they need to change it. Like, I am so bored of that
Still
parade.
Disney stars on parade, right?
Yeah. And like, it's just really clawed back now. So, like, the first day I watched it, like, whenever I've seen it in the past, at the beginning, you have Alice, Mad Hatter, Aladdin, Genie, Pinocchio, Geppetto, some others. Like, there's people listening to this right now. Like, how can you not remember? Mary and Bert, and I think that's
It's
it.
a real mix of, yeah, I can't remember, but it is a real mix of characters.
Yeah.
It's very random. Like, it's not, it's, yeah, I would say it's probably my least favorite parade out of all the Disney parades.
Well, ordinarily, I would disagree with you, Tash, but this version was appalling because at the beginning, we had Alice and Hatter, Mary, no Bert. Pinocchio was there. I think Geppetto might have been there. There was no Aladdin, no Genie, and there were four penguins instead.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Quite funny because my friend Dan and I used to joke about the penguins at Disney, like, oh dear, who did they upset?
Yeah.
Friends with a penguin all day. Yeah, so that was just like a bit embarrassing. And then like on the Toy Story float, there's meant to be, there's this like, and I haven't seen this work for years, to be honest, this isn't new, but there's like this device on the back of the float that spins round, and there's meant to be two alien, like there's an alien standing each bit and it makes it go round, like there was no one in it. The Jungle Book float, Mowgli is normally sat at the top being like crushed by a car. It was a random monkey. The Neverland float has gone. So, you know, there's the Neverland float and the Lost Boys make it swing. Yeah. That's gone. Oh. It's just Hook on a skull. The Three Good Fairies weren't on segways. They were just walking. So they've got rid of that.
These are all very like weird things that they would change. Like, what's the massive difference there? Do you know what I mean? Like, why have they made some of these decisions?
Well, interestingly, I once watched Disney Stars and Parade, and this was like years ago when it was still kind of, you know, not falling apart like it appears to be now. And I had a friend who was a cast member at the time, and I remember watching the parade one day. And you know, you've got like the thorn people that come out with the Maleficent float. There were like, there's normally like six of them, and there was like two of them. And I was like, that's weird. And I remember asking him about it, and he went, oh, did you notice? And I said, yeah. And he went, I told our creative director people would notice. It's because like people are sick and stuff. And I was like, sorry, of course people, of course, this is Disneyland. Like, you underestimate the level of hardcore fan. Of course people are going to notice if there's suddenly one thorn instead of seven, or because Genie's not at the beginning, or like this version of the parade was very, very weird. And they've already, like, they changed the princess section when they added the Frozen float to the end. So originally for Disney Stars on Parade, when it debuted in like 2017 for the 25th anniversary, I think it was, there was no Frozen section at the end, and the princess section was longer, and they've cut that down now because they've got this whole Frozen bit. But I think it had been cut down again. Like, it just, it felt like a really shoddy. And my husband has seen this parade in 2017, but like didn't really remember it. But since then, he's seen like the parades in Florida, California, and obviously went to Shanghai in 2016 as well. And he was like, that was the worst parade I have ever seen. And I was like, do you know what? I agree with you. And it's sad because it just wasn't done in its entirety. It was really weird. It was a shoddy version.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, I know sometimes they obviously, like, they used to do it in Shanghai a lot. Like, they cut them down to like two floats if the weather is really poor.
No. This wasn't
like,
that.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like it was that. If it was that, I could understand. But then you'd make it even shorter. Like, it just seems, like thought, said, it seems really weird. Decisions. Like, I can understand if it is a staffing issue, but then why don't they have backup people? Because this must be a problem that can happen at any time. But like, things like taking like certain floats out and like not having the segues and stuff just doesn't really make any sense.
Hold that thought about parades being rained off, because I'm a jinx at this point. Stay tuned for a couple of episodes time to find out what that's all about. But I've never seen that happen at Disneyland Paris, or had never seen that happen at Disneyland Paris until very recently. But no, this wasn't that. This was like, we can't be bothered to put aliens in the Buzz float. We don't have someone to be Mowgli, so we're just going to stick a monkey there. We don't have a genie today, so let's just put loads of penguins out. Like, who's making these decisions?
Yeah, very, very weird. Okay, well, that's disappointing. What did your son think of the parade?
He loved it. That was probably one of his most enjoyable things. I think characters was probably his favorite thing. And I remember when we were talking about your son's first trip, you said that you did like a Mickey meet and greet, but actually in hindsight, you wish you'd done princesses because he loves people. And I definitely feel like my son liked the people more than like Mickey. He wasn't really... I don't think he really knew that Mickey was like alive. Like, I think he looked at Mickey in the same way he looks at like a plushie, whereas the princesses and like the parade dancers, he was like really interactive with. He loved their costumes, and he kept just smiling at me like the biggest grin ever because of my ears, like, because I was wearing glittery mini ears. He kept just looking at them, like the lights, the colors. he loves all of that anyway. So I wasn't surprised that he loved the parade, but it was really, really nice that he did. He actually fell asleep just before and then he woke up just as it started. And I was like really happy.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, I think like it is quite bemusing for a small child suddenly being like thrust into this world where like you're going on all these weird rides and it's something they've never done before. And like you're meeting a giant mouse, whereas people is something that they know. But let's think about it. Like these princesses face characters that they meet, they are like children's TV presenters. Do you know what I mean? Like they are very friendly. They've got like these lovely, like gentle voices. They have like really smiley facial expressions. Like they do all of the stuff. They're wearing bright colors that are appealing to small children. So yeah, that's no surprise at all.
Yeah, he absolutely loved it, which was great. And then obviously, because we watched the parade right by the pink arches, it meant that we were ready to go on It's a Small World as soon as the parade had finished as well. Again, really bemused. I've got a video of him on it. I think I sent it to you already, Tash. He's just going around it like, yeah, great.
What is this?
Pretty much. So then after that, it was time to eat. And I was like acutely aware at this point, it was getting on for like 7 o'clock or something like that. I think the park closed at 8. So the fireworks were at 8 and most of the quick dines were closed. And then I remember, or maybe this is when we went on Phantom Manor, actually. I think this might be when we went on Phantom Manor. I can't really remember. I just remember we were walking past like Cowboy Cookout and it was closed. And I was like, oh God, what are we going to do for dinner? Because my son goes to sleep at like 8:30. So I was like, as soon as the fireworks are done, like it's bedtime. Like we can't be getting food after that. So I was like, worst comes to the worst, we'll just do room service in the hotel. But I didn't really want to do that, especially not the first night. That felt like something I would like earn after a really long day in the park. And then we were walking past the new Casa de Coco, which used to be the Fuente del Oro, the restaurant where I had my first kiss, Tash. And they were open. So I quickly, I think we were going towards Phantom Manor, because I remember we had to like backtrack. So it must have been. But anyway, I popped my head in and I was like, oh, and they were like, we're closing at 7:00. And it was like 2:45. Or maybe we were going to the toilet. I don't remember, but I know we like went past and then came back. And we went there and it was my first time eating there since it's changed to a Coco restaurant. So I wanted to like, obviously on this trip, you know, I'm like, I want to do as many new experiences as possible, especially when it comes to dining. And the menu is exclusively burritos and they have a churro dessert, but there's basically 4 types of burrito, I feel. So there's a beef, a chicken, I think there's a pork, and then there's a vegan. And at the moment, I watched that awful vegan propaganda thing on Netflix recently. Don't watch it. It's the Twin Study. Have you seen this, Tash?
I started watching it, not realizing what it was. And then I literally probably watched like 1/2 an episode and then was like, oh, I didn't realize this was about veganism.
No, I think that's what they plan for. I also didn't realize it was about veganism. It's basically vegan propaganda. It's honestly horrendous. You know me, I watched the whole thing because I can't do things in halves, and I can literally count on one hand how many pieces of meat I've eaten since I watched it. So if you're someone who's easily influenced and likes eating meat, I would not recommend watching that documentary. So yeah, I'm trying to avoid meat as much as possible, but I didn't like the sound of the vegan burrito. And because it was, if it'd been vegetarian, I probably would have had it, but it was vegan. So it had like a vegan cheese, which I, especially in Disneyland, I thought, I don't know about this. So I thought, you know what? I'm not a vegetarian. I'm just trying to be more conscious. I would call myself a flexitarian. So I went for the chicken burrito. I thought it was honestly the best quick dine food I have had at Disneyland Paris ever. My sister really enjoyed it. Her boyfriend really enjoyed it. My mum really liked it too. My husband was not very impressed by it. That's because he was comparing it to like the burritos. You know, we had that burrito place like in Brighton Town Centre, Tortilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anyone's got a tortilla in their hometown or you've been to Tortilla in London, this is not tortilla standard. It's Disneyland Paris. But it is considerably better than like the puffy Mickey pizza, the burger and fries you're going to get from Cafe Hyperion. I would really, really recommend the burritos at the Casa de Coco. And it closes at 7, which is an hour before park closing. So if you're going and park closing's later, then I assume it'll be open a little bit later as well. Whereas lots of the quick dines close at like 5 o'clock, just before the parade's going to start. So really good tip if you're struggling to find somewhere to eat and you don't want to end up at Casey's Corner, like so many people often do in the winter months. And I thought it was a really decent burrito.
Okay, well, that's promising. That's really good. I mean, yeah, I think it is the way with, you know, the way the plant-based kind of world is, and somewhere like Paris, obviously, I think they're better now for vegans than they were when we went in 2020. So that is a good sign that they're getting better. But it would be nice to have a veggie option as well as a vegan option. But of course, you know, if they're only going to have one, absolutely go with a vegan option. But yeah, there's still a little way for them to go. But it's good that they are definitely being more conscious of that and there are more options. Yeah, that's great.
I don't know if it would have been possible to ask for the vegan with normal cheese, because basically they were making them fresh out the back, you could see. But they were then, it was a bit like McDonald's, you know, where they're making the burgers and then there's like a chicken section, a beef, and they're just being thrown down. So when I went, I had to wait for ages because they were out of chicken. But it meant that when my burrito came, it was piping hot because I could literally see it being made. So there might be a possibility to ask for the vegan one with normal cheese, but my personal experience of vegan cheese has not been very good, which is why I decided not to have that one. And I agree with you, Tash. I hate it when there's no veggie option. It's like vegan by default, because then what they like to do is have like a vegan version that's like gluten-free, dairy-free, and then they can just be like, yeah, this is the allergen version. And you're like, but I don't have allergies. I just don't want to eat an animal.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that often happens. And as you say, it's a huge step in the right direction for Disneyland Paris, which didn't have a load of plant-based options even 3-4 years ago. So we ate there. And then I think pretty much after that, it was time for the fireworks. So we went and we got our spot. And obviously it was the electrical parade in the sky, which is a bit of an homage to the Main Street Electrical Parade, which is a personal favorite of mine. My mum hates the music from the Main Street Electrical Parade. I think it's given her like PTSD over the years. And of course, sans drones, no drones. Obviously, I'm a jinx at this point. I'm never going to see the drones at Disneyland Paris. Spoiler for the episodes to come, I did not see the drones. I went out there every single night and no drones. It was dry. It wasn't windy. Like, I don't know if they're expecting it to be like 28 degrees with like not a hint of wind in the middle of Paris in January for these bloody drones to fly. My second bloody of the episode. Third now. I don't know what is going, like, I'm so angry about this. I didn't see them on my head. I'm never ever going to see these drones. I know it. So I stood there at 7:50 and I watched the sky electrical sky parade without the drones. Horrendous. I honestly, I'm probably gonna watch it on YouTube with the drones just to see if it makes it better. But what I saw, Tash, no one should ever have to see.
Like, I haven't, you know, I don't like to like go on and see like stuff that I'm potentially going to see like in the next couple of years. So I haven't watched it on YouTube or anything. Like, I've seen like little snippets of it, but I haven't watched it as a whole. And to me, when they announced they were doing this, it seemed like a very weird decision to make, because that's expensive technology that you've got there, right? And like, I haven't seen the drone. I didn't see the drones on my last trip either. And like, the weather wasn't terrible. They were just cancelled. Apparently because of high winds, it didn't feel that windy. So it seems like to me they're investing a lot in something in a place that does have infamously bad weather a lot of the time.
Yes, this is what my husband said.
Why make that?
No,
like,
I
know. They were going to do that in Florida, for example. Totally get it. Go for it.
No, I don't get it in Florida because it's wind that's the issue.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that is a very good point.
Rain. Rain's not the problem. It's wind. And like a hurricane comes, you're for a month.
Lose all your drones. So the whole Main Street Electrical Parade, not Main Street Electrical Parade, and Electrical Parade in Sky, whatever they called it, I don't see how that worked. Like, I just assumed that they would cancel the whole thing if they couldn't have the drones.
So do you remember the 30th? They did show it without the drones.
No.
Yeah, they did. You wouldn't have known because it was so shit. I didn't realise either. They called it El Monkey Sea.
That's it.
That was the show. It just didn't have any drones.
What?
Yeah. So you would have seen it just without the drones.
Okay, I just didn't know that.
I didn't know the first night of my hen. And then the second night of my hen, I watched it on TikTok because I was like, was that it? I thought, because I didn't really know what it was going to be. And you would have seen the 30th nighttime show.
I did.
Just before the
before the
fireworks, sorry. But yeah, just without drones. So that's what I saw. I saw the main street in the sky without the drones. It was just projections on the castle and the music.
Yeah.
Out trying to talk about it like as fairly as I can because I haven't seen it in its full entirety. I just think I really like the Main Street Electrical Parade, but I do think I'm in the minority. It's a little bit like culty. It's a bit goofy movie. It's a bit Splash Mountain, like whatever. There's a lot of people that I love the Main Street Electrical. I actually do really like it. But I'm going to go out on a whim here. And maybe this is offensive to certain people. I don't know. I think there's a little bit of jumping on the bandwagon here. And let me tell you why. I feel like I'm the authority on this, right? I've been going to Disneyland Paris since it opened in 1992 and I was one. Admittedly, I didn't go back until 1997 when I was six. But after that, my family went pretty much every single year throughout the 90s and the early noughties. And then I went a lot in the 2010s because I used to go every Christmas with my uni friends, right? So I've been a lot and at different times. The Main Street Electrical Parade was on in Disneyland Paris when I was a baby. So when I was 1 year old, it was there. And you probably saw it in 1992 as well, Tash. The only reason I know this is because I have home videos of it and photos of it. That's the only reason I know that. But by the time I went in 1997, it had stopped and it has not been back. To my knowledge, I have not seen it in Disneyland Paris since. The reason I'm a very big fan of it is because I remember seeing it recently in California, and I also remember seeing it in Florida, I think in the 90s as well. It could have been the noughties, I can't remember, but I saw it as a kid in Florida. But in terms of Paris, there is no legacy there. Yes, there will be some adults that went in the very early 90s when Euro Disney first opened that remember it. But for the majority of millennials, because let's be honest, it's millennials that jump on, I love the electrical parade, like that have been to Paris exclusively, they will not remember this show. They will not. They will not remember the music. And also, I'm talking right now about diehard Disney fans. Not everyone that goes to Disney is a diehard Disney fan. Some of the things I candidly heard, like when I was walking past, like, oh, I think they've got a pirate ride. Like, you know, just Joe blogs off the street, didn't know he had to book his dining, whatever. I'm being really disrespectful now, but whatever. The average person that goes to Disney is not a big mega fan. And they still turn up for the fireworks. Everyone knows about the fireworks. The whole of the park is stood on Main Street for the fireworks. I guarantee that like 70% of the people that were watching this monstrosity unfold with no drones were like, what have I been eating today? Because this is an absolute headwind. It was the weirdest thing. I have to watch it with the drones now because I just can't imagine that it would make it that much better. It was honestly, it was just so trippy and weird and just odd.
Yeah, do you know what? I think I'm actually going to watch it now as well. Like,
I would. I don't think it'll be on that long, realistically.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, if they're not showing a full show every night, like why? They've got at some point, sure.
But I'm just like, I guess the point I'm trying to make is like, who is it for?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like, if they did it in California
or Florida, fine.
Understand it more, but yeah, it's like if they suddenly started doing like a Figment meet and greet in Paris, like it would make absolutely no sense. It's
no, should I tell you what it would be? Because Figment, that would be really weird because he's never ever been. It would be like if they had like a Captain EO, like something, because they did show Captain EO in Paris like once.
It's weird.
It's so weird. And like, it's just odd. I just don't know who it's for. I don't like, it's just so niche. And like, I
do it, but like, call it something else. Don't have it as like this homage to the Main Street Electrical Parade, which is really iconic.
Have like a parks, like Disney parks through the years. And like start with like opening day speech in Disneyland and then like work up to it, like have it as part of that. But I need to watch the full thing with drones because maybe I'm being like overly negative. But I was like, honestly, I was so bored. I was just like checking on my sons who's asleep in the pram. I was just like looking at him and I actually did look around at like the people around me and like no one was engaged. Like it was just a bit of a calamity.
Yeah, that's such a shame. Very disappointing to hear. But yeah, I'm not altogether surprised. I don't see how that is going to work without the drones. Okay,
but then it was the fireworks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. So how were the fireworks? I know that fireworks on the first night is always a very big thing for you, for most people, probably. I mean, how I'll do them every night if I can. Was your son still asleep at this point? Did he get his first Disney fireworks viewing?
No, so he slept, I think pretty much, I think he might have woken up at some point, but I think he slept for the majority of it. So no, he didn't really see it, which is fine. I was very happy for him to be asleep in the pram. And obviously this was a really big deal because it was Wishes again, which I've spoken a lot about how Illuminations made me cross because Illuminations was introduced for Disneyland Paris's 25th anniversary. It was sold as this like brand new show, especially for the 25th. And I had seen it the year before in Shanghai. It was just a rehash of the grand opening Shanghai fireworks. And it hadn't been designed for the Disneyland Paris castle, which meant that the projection mapping just was not as impressive as it was in Shanghai. So I'm going to go as far as to say I hated Illuminations in Paris. I just thought it was cheap and nasty and just, no, it belongs in Shanghai, not in Paris. So I was really pleased that Wishes was back. Do I think it's lazy? Yes, they could have come up with a brand new show, but hey, you know, beggars can't be choosers. But yeah, it was really nice to have Wishes back.
Have they done anything new to it, or is it literally exactly the same as it was?
Exactly the same as it was. The thing that I love about Wishes, I remember I was talking about this recently when we were talking about Illuminations and you were like, that doesn't happen in Illuminations. And I was like, oh my God, that must have been Wishes. And you were like, what? Do you remember I was saying to you that like, it's all French and it's in French. So you've got Hunchback.
Yeah.
And I always remembered because, yeah, it's the ooh, da, 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 and then the rest is in French. And then you've got je le fais, which is it's a party, which I love. So, yeah, c'est la fête, maybe it is. I can't remember. French listeners, please accept my sincerest apologies. But, yeah, I loved that. I loved the beginning. Peter Pan's Lost His Shadow, Clochette. And on my favorite bits, the Dr. Facilier, are you ready? And the castle looks like it's going crazy, like it's all cogs and it's designed for that castle. So it looks really impressive. The only thing that I'm going to say, because it wouldn't be me without a little complaint, and this is really controversial, but I really missed the Star Wars and the Pirates elements, the John Williams and the Hans Zimmer. And we've spoken about this a million times before, but those two sections were my most favorite parts of Illuminations because you've got two of the greatest composers of all time. And there weren't any, I love Wishes, I really do. And I love the French. And I love, as I say, that the projection mapping is, you can see it's designed for that castle. But there's no moment, I didn't cry. There's no moment where the music like fills your whole body and you're like, I'm watching the Disneyland fireworks. And for me, Chewie, we're home. Da, 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 da. That John Williams moment. And then the whatever Captain Jack says. And then the da, 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 like those two moments for me are that. I think the thing that probably came the closest to it was the Dr. Facilier section. But yeah, it needed a bit more welly.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I you know, I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I love that section because of that music. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I love the soundtrack to it. And the same, yeah, with that Jack Sparrow bit, Pirates of the Caribbean sequence as well. I mean, I never had a massive problem with it because it was massively nostalgic for me because of Shanghai. But yes, I totally agree. Projection mapping wise, you could tell it was created for another castle. It never quite worked in Paris. So yeah, I haven't seen Wishes. So my fingers are crossed that I will get to see it one day.
I hope so. Again, like, I don't mean to be like Debbie Downer. Like, I was so excited when they said they were bringing it back. And obviously, like, I know that this comes from a place of privilege. Like, we've spoken about this a lot on the podcast before, but we're in 2024 and Wishes is, I think the first time I saw Wishes was like 2010, I want to say. So it's an old show, and regurgitating that nowadays just ain't going to cut it. Like, I've seen productions in California, Florida, the Asian parks that are so amazing. Like, give us more fire, give us water effects. We want something a little bit more impressive nowadays. And I guess that's what the drones would be when they're working, but they're just too temperamental.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they've obviously put a lot into this drone show that they probably figured that they didn't need to come up with an original new, like, castle fireworks show. So that's why they've gone back to Wishes. But hopefully, I mean, you know, the 35th birthday, they'll start celebrating that in the next few years. Fingers crossed we'll get something for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't hold my breath, though. But yeah, so we watched the fireworks as a family and then parted ways, said goodbye to my sister and her boyfriend as they went off to their hotel, and then made our way up to our bed chambers at the Disneyland Hotel. All of our stuff was in the room, which was absolutely incredible, and they'd put everything like in a really nice way. So like the suitcases were like nicely in like the luggage area, and they'd put my son's prep machine and sterilizer in like the vanity area, so that became like the bottle making station. Long gone are the days of me actually sitting down and putting my makeup on nicely. And yeah, we had a wonderful night. My son slept in his cot the entire night with one wake up, which was heavenly. And then in the morning, he actually laid in and I had to wake him, which is like unheard of. So yeah, a really fantastic first day to the trip. Really very, well, I guess not very typical for me. Like, we're not rushing into the park. We only did three rides. We went back to the hotel for a coffee. So a very different first day at Disneyland Paris.
I mean, it's always going to be a very different experience going with such a young baby, but also you are staying at the Disneyland Hotel as well. Like, who knows? Maybe you'll be lucky enough to do that again. Maybe you won't. And I think that if you do have that experience, then you do have to utilize it. I mean, hey, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe if you do go back and you stay in, I don't know, the Art of Marvel, then you'll just be able to wander into the Disneyland Hotel anyway with a Lime Bertie reservation. But I think that if I was you and was staying at that hotel, I didn't necessarily know for a fact if I was going to go back, I probably would have been doing things like just popping back to the hotel, utilizing the fact that it's on your doorstep, going for a coffee and things like that, actually making the most of that hotel.
Yeah, definitely. I also forgot, actually, before we went to bed, my son woke up from the fireworks, and then we did pop down because I'd booked another princess encounter for the evening, and it was Princess Jasmine, which was amazing. And I knew that it was Princess Jasmine because the guy with the list had shown me it earlier in the day, which I spoke about in last week's episode. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and give episode 256 a listen. But for today, that is where we will leave things. Join us next week to hear about day two of my Disneyland Paris trip. But Tash, if people want to get in touch with us, how can they find us?
So if you want to get in touch, you can find us on Instagram at Chat Disney, or we're available on Twitter.
Or we're available on, sorry, I might have just spoken over Tash. I feel like I couldn't hear her for a second. So apologies for that. You can also find us, if you are listening, on the Spotify app. Literally from within the app, just scroll down to the bottom of this episode and there is a little chat field. It will say something like, what did you think of this week's episode? But you don't have to just let us know that. You can let us know any ideas that you've had, any content you'd like to hear. You could tell us that you love the drones and that I'm talking nonsense and that I need to give the Nighttime Spectacular another shot, whatever you want. But we love to hear from you, so please do get in touch with us.
Absolutely. Bye for now.
See you then.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.